Well, it's 10:01. Looks like everyone's starting to get on the call. Good. How's everyone doing today?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I
Oh,
am
that's
good.
right. Laura went to India, right?
She is in India, so I will be leading the class today.
Hey everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
Light, I'm in a coffee shop. Oh my gosh, let me try to.
Okay. All right, well, it's 10:02. So go ahead and get started as we wait for maybe a few more people to join the call. Laura is in India, so hopefully having a fantastic time, staying healthy and having fun. And so I have the pleasure of guiding us through this week's material. So we'll go ahead and just kind of get grounded in our bodies before we get started. I'm gonna just kind of pat myself down, feel my legs and my feet, feel the chair holding me up, supporting me. At the arms. Face, head, just taking a look around, noticing the energetic connection that we all have, all in different parts of the world, but here together. In this class for the morning, afternoon for some of you. Looking around, feeling the connection with everyone. So it's nice to see you all. We have a lot to cover today. It was a lot happening in that case with Dawn. So I'm hoping you all got a chance to watch the full video and read the chapters 10 and 11. In the book, we're going to review that in detail today. And if we have time, I'd like to do a short demonstration of the work as well to get you some more experience of what the work can be like. Because I know some of you are still pretty new to this work. We'll go ahead and just do a quick check-in with everyone. And then we'll move on into the content here. So Martha, you are on the call first. Can you do a hello, a quick check-in? Let us know how things are going.
Yes, good. Well, it's afternoon. Good afternoon. Everything's good here. Thank you. Had a good week, and really enjoying, the exercises of like thinking about things differently with people. And I've when you're in business for yourself, and I do volunteer work, which actually volunteer work brings out probably the strangest qualities of people, that you have to do more of that allow and stop than I ever realized I was doing. So it's great to be able to identify my behavior and other people's behavior.
Wonderful. So you're really working with the energy dynamics in relationship, that push, pull, stop, and allow, and observing what's happening there.
Right, it's more personal for me right now than with clients, and the people that are around you are a great way to start. So yes, thank you.
Thank you. I love that you're working with these tools. Thank you. Let's see who is on next. Laura. Still can't hear you.
It's been a very interesting 2 weeks for me as well. I've been more social, especially for work, and so many challenges. So it's been interesting to observe myself and watch the others, and learning to accept that there are challenges when we are surrounded by people. It's you know, not always fluent. And so I question, you know, what is the story for me to be meeting such people?
Yeah. Okay, interesting. So you're observing and starting to question below the observation.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's see, Jill.
It's been a good couple of weeks. I am thankful for the list. At the same time, I don't always use them, you know, use all those things, but I have been using the three questions, noticing myself, what's showing up, and in just in this last few days, even of where am I weak, where am I strong, and trying to understand that with myself and my own personal experience with what's showing up inside of me. So I think that's really important for me to observe and work with.
So you're objectively observing yourself right now and working.
Yeah. And also noticing, you know, when I've worked with some people that, you know, how they would get going on their story. And then I would have them come back to their self, their body. And it seems like everybody kind of has a hard time knowing where it's at in my body. Where do you feel that in your body? Mm-hmm. So I usually would take them, well, what does it look like, or that kind of thing. But that's kind of curious to me, I guess, is how maybe disconnected we all are with our own physical body, that we don't necessarily sense where that tension or stress is in our body. So that's what's showing up.
Right. And you mentioned in the very beginning the list. Do you mean the energy vocabulary list?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a really great tool to start to utilize some of those words. And I also think that one of the things we'll talk about today is slowing down, right? Allowing the client, encouraging the client to slow down a little bit and really be there. And it's something we don't often do, right? We get very caught up in the story, and right. To help the client slow down so they can kind of sink into the sensation and then offer some of the energy vocabulary words can be really helpful as they get used to doing this. This is something we don't do in real life very often, right? Like really slow down and observe the energetics of what's happening. So I love that you're working with that.
I know with myself, I'm a little uncomfortable still, allowing it to, I can feel it, and I can sense what my client is feeling too. And it's that, what's next? I always think I have to do, and this is probably my coach mind. Mm-hmm. What's next, you know? So it always feels left undone.
Yeah. Well, I love that you can name that. And it is, I'm sure other people have had that experience of, okay, we get to this place of silence sometimes, right? And then, okay, we think we should have to do something next.
Yeah.
And that pregnant pause can be excruciating, right? Yeah. Well, thank you for naming that. And we can address that a little bit today.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. I'd be happy to do that. All right, Angelica.
Everyone, these 2 weeks have been very busy for me. I just moved to Austin, Texas and started a new job, so 2 weeks on a new job. But just really, really, really noticing energy patterns in myself. Kind of applying what we went over last class about your strong chakras, your weak chakras. Trying to keep constantly remind myself of my weaker areas and how to nurture it. And yeah, and also just, yeah, kind of using energy language and noticing my own sensations, particularly my breath. So I've been working on doing anything that helps me breathe in the morning, yoga, and I'm consciously, you know, really trying to get more embodied, because I realize that, like, that will be the key to my, like, healing and awareness of myself. If I just stay out of my body, then I'm never going to be aware. So I've been really working on that.
Thank you, Angelica. Sounds like you're really using the tools that you're learning here in this course and applying them in your life. Good job. Yay. Thank you. Let's see. Let's go to Heidi.
Okay. Now can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Okay. So I've actually had a very slowing down couple of weeks. I ended up with an unexpected health concern that was very serious. Had to take this last couple of weeks off work. And as I'm healing, though, and using all of my tools with that, I've been really integrating more. I took the opportunity to integrate with both the emotional and mental and physical aspects of it all as I clear and heal. And it's been really interesting because I've actually put a little more focus on trying to really feel how my body is going through rather than trying to escape kind of what my body was going through. So so that's been kind of an interesting experience and very valuable to me.
Wonderful. I love how you can that you called out that need for integration between these different aspects of yourself as you're moving through a difficult, challenging situation.
Thanks.
What were the tools that you used to help you integrate?
Body awareness. I use I work with an energetic healer that helping me as well. And I use belief transformation tools where when stuff comes up in a health crisis, sometimes there's thoughts and feelings and emotions that were stuck in there in that time when from past times. So clear, you know, recognizing those and clearing those. I have some tools to do that, clearing belief tools. Just kind of the slowing down that what you were talking about, which she was talking about in the thing for the readings for this week. I realized that I needed to not push through it. So it was more like just slow down, allow myself to experience all these different things I'm experiencing, allow it to sort of just wash through, neither fighting it nor letting it stay there and be stuck. Because that's a new thing I've been working on this year is in the past I had a tendency to either grab on and stick things, you know, not let them go or try and shield myself from everything. And this time I'm just trying to let it all move through and out. And I think it seems like it's a easier way. It feels easier to get through this that
allowing.
Way.
Right? Maybe allowing is a little bit easier than resisting it.
Yeah. And so I guess I think of that as a tool as well. Just that ability to start allowing rather than pushing, resisting, forcing, whatever.
Thank you. Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm glad to see that you're able to use these tools and notice a difference.
Thanks.
Thank you, Heidi. Valerie.
I can identify with what Heidi said about allowing and things like that. But this past week, I have really had to shift gears and focus on things that I've been putting aside for a while. So I've had to deal with a lot around the house and all. So I've sort of been pulled out of that flow of thought and physically tired. So I need to catch up a little bit.
Catch up with?
With the class and back to working on those things.
Okay. Well, glad to have you here in class today. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing. And let's see, Chris.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Kimberly. So I was working with a client this week and, you know, asked the three questions. And, you know, in the past, it was hard for her to feel anything in her body. But this week, she was able to feel she named some quivering in her solar plexus. So that was actually like a big step for her to be able to feel it, number one, and to name it. So that felt like a big accomplishment for her. So it's just nice to actually be able to apply the work and having her be able to feel that sensation. So it was good.
Yay, congratulations. Yeah. It's nice when we get to that point. It's kind of as a therapist to have the aha moment, like, oh, it's working. It's useful. It's great. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, thanks.
Nice. Thank you, Chris. Debbie.
Am I unmuted? Okay. Hi. Hi. I had trouble getting on this morning, so I was, I've been trying to calm myself down from worrying about missing the class. But, I've been applying, you know, the prior class lessons, especially the chakra kind of balancing where I'm kind of maybe underdeveloped and then where I'm more used to hanging out and working in. So I've been working on the lower chakras as far as some of the exercises that, you know, we learned in the class. And I think my challenge, and it's all really new to me, so I'm having like so many awarenesses coming all the time that it's hard to even keep up with it, but it's great. And I think that sometimes I am so in the moment and so kind of picking up on the outside that I do still tend to, you know, maybe really intense social situation or, I don't know, something, I'm under stress or something, I'm kind of losing touch of where my body's at and what's happening. Cause later on I'll notice things like tension or some kind of strain or something that I don't know it's happening in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I struggle with some musculoskeletal challenges and injuries and stuff. So I'm realizing a lot of times that I'm not aware till afterwards. So I'd like to be able to slow down more and be more aware in certain times, you know, under stressful situations or, I don't know, where I'm doing things I'm not even aware of it. I'm still trying to understand this. That's a little bit hard to explain.
But no, I think you did a lovely job of that. And I just would like to reflect back to you that you are in the process of doing that, right? It takes time. And I love how you said slow down and be aware. Because those are the two things, right? The more we can remember to slow down and the more we do it, the more it'll become a habit. And maintaining that awareness as the objective observer, it takes time to get into the habit of doing that. So I love that you are doing it. And then just, you know, be nice to yourself in the process, right? And I know you've shared in the past how you've been more of the, like the leaving pattern, kind of checking out, not very grounded. So it does take some patience and be kind to yourself as you do this process. It sounds to me like you're doing it.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you. Let's see. Ruby, are you there? Hi. Still muted.
How about now? Can you hear me?
Good. Yes.
Okay. I had to change the location. The internet got caught up. So, okay, let me ground myself first. I was frantically trying to get things to work.
Yeah, take a moment. It's okay.
Okay. So, I'm just happy that I get to be here today. It's been always busy. I try to avoid using the word busy though, because I feel, because in Chinese word, busy, this word, this character literally means the heart is dead. So I try not to use the word busy, but I just say I live a very full life. It's just where I'm in my life right now, because I have small kiddos, and this season just hit us really hard that they get sick back to back. And then also I had some work commitment. So, but then something about this course, something that keep on pulling me back. Sometimes I'm like, I don't even know why I'm here, but then I just like, this is important, and then I want to learn more about it. So I'm happy to be here. In terms of what I'm working on, I listened to the recording from last time that I missed, that Laura was saying something about sometimes we use giving as a mask. And then it's very important for us to receive. And I think right now being a mom and then of very small kids, it's very normal for me to just keep on giving and giving and giving. And then it's really hard for me to receive. But then I think that makes it very unbalanced. And then I been really practicing to allow myself to receive. Go beyond just ask for help, but then to truly do things that nourish myself, and then just to really pay attention to my emotions and what my needs are. So instead of always being a productive mode, allowing myself to do things slowly and then pace things out. You know, even when I talk, I remind myself, okay, speak slowly, be here, be present. And that's what I've been working on. And even in, to experience my emotions in conversations, I realized, for example, when I'm talking with my husband, I would sometimes I feel like I will power through the conversations, or I would, if I feel emotions comes up that I want to cry, like I don't allow myself to go there. I just kind of like continue talking. So I don't need to feel that emotions. So that's something that's powerful for me to work on, to be present and slow down and to.
I would like to reflect back to you even just now as you're expressing yourself. Yeah. Right. There's so many words that are coming out so quickly. And so I love that you have that awareness of, oh, I could slow down.
Yeah. So that's what I'm working on.
Right. Good job. Well, I love how much you're curious about yourself, and you're looking at it and you have some solution, right? Slowing down is a really great place to start, and that you have awareness around the importance of that balance between give and receive. And it is hard with little ones, right? It is. So
I think even physically I think the rhythm of our life is just so fast paced. But then I think slowing down is more of the inner work for me. You know, just to be fully in this present.
Yeah. Well, so glad to have you in the course to help you with some of these tools for yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is somebody on the phone, or Laura, is that you? Is that your phone? Or who's on the phone here? The 203 number. That's you. Okay. All right. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't miss anybody. Okay, so nice to be able to catch up with you all a little bit. And we're going to go ahead and move into, well, do you have any questions first before I move into covering the chapter 10 and 11 review, and we'll talk about Dawn's case. But is there any question right off the bat? No? Nice. Okay. Okay, so this week we are looking at chapter 10 and 11 and really going into being able to utilize our energy vocabulary. And I wanted to start off just with a brief reminder of the energetics of what we do, because that's what really defines us and makes us unique from traditional psychotherapy and from coaching, is that we're really, really working on the energetics of the system. Remember that all of our history, our beliefs and our emotions, our physical body also has energy, frequency, and form. So everything, again, our beliefs, our emotions, everything has a frequency and an energetic form to it. And so with TEH, transpersonal energy healing, we want to work with the energy. We're working with the energy system. So some of these things that we're going to do in TEH, we were hoping for a similar outcome with psychotherapy and with coaching, but as TEH practitioners, we have this extra skill of really being able to work with the energy system. We're going to track disease to its root, working with the energetics. And we access and follow the client's inner wisdom. And I think that's a big difference from coaching and psychotherapy, where we're really trying to help the client find their own inner wisdom and help them to follow it and track it. Some of the benefits of this work are stimulating the natural self-correcting healing mechanism, because the energy knows what to do. So when we can help the clients access their energy and help them flow the energy, as we were kind of talking about with Heidi, like allowing this energy, trusting that the energy knows what to do, we're going to stimulate that natural self-correcting, natural healing mechanism within the system. And another big difference, I think, is really helping the client to sense their essential self. Helping them to find that part of them, that essential self within them, and help them see what are the barriers to them accessing their essential self or connecting with or identifying with their essential self. And always we're looking at highlighting their resilience, right? We want to really look at what are they doing well? What's going well? What's the positive side to what they're experiencing, and help them to see their own resilience and their own capacity for healing. So that's just a little bit of a recap, but we're really moving into the energetics now of this work. So we started with this chapter on the energetic vocabulary. Right, so working with transpersonal energy healing is really working with the energies. So we need to have a little bit of an energy vocabulary so that we can work through this with our client during a session. And some things to highlight about the energy vocabulary, besides the fact that it does help, and I think Jill expressed this really well, it does help to have a list of these words, because in our normal day-to-day life, we're not often using this type of vocabulary. So it is really helpful to have that list that we got in the book. And as we work through more of the modules with the certification program, you'll have some more practice with these words and some more tools as we go through the certification. Now, just having that list is enough to get you started. And remembering that for our work, it's less about the story and it's more about their experience of their story. So for the client to be able to express their experience of the story, having that energy vocabulary is really useful and helpful. So you knowing some of these, the languaging of energy is helpful. And sometimes if you remember the video with Laura and Dawn, she does actually very little bit, but she does throw in some ideas of energy vocabulary so that the client can start to get a sense of what we're talking about here as we start to describe the energy. We're looking at what's alive in their system now. So again, it's not so much about the story, it's their experience of the story and what is here now. I do a lot of work with trauma from past experiences, and I know for sure that the experience itself, the story itself, is not as important as what is happening in the system now because of the story. So I don't need to know, as a therapist, I don't need to know all of the details of the story. I'm interested in what is still alive in their system. What's the charge that's still affecting them now in their system? And so when they get really into story, we're going to help them come back into what is happening as far as sensations go, and maybe some emotions that are there now. We reflect and summarize the energetics. Okay. We want to do this without judgment, right? We're using non-judgmental energy vocabulary to help reflect and summarize their experience. And we reflect how the energy has changed from the beginning of the session, how it's changed to the end of the session. And I like to then really highlight their resilience, that they have gone through these things that were challenging or difficult. They might be holding on to some of this energy still, and how just by naming it, talking about it, being with it, slowing down and being with it, how that energy can shift from the beginning of the session to the end of the session. So it's different than psychotherapy. It's different than coaching. And as a nutrition coach and trauma therapist, this tool of transpersonal energy healing is really something that I don't always use the whole session. I use these tools in addition to coaching, in addition to some of the cognitive behavioral therapy that you would get in psychotherapy. So for those of you in NEPT who are also coaches, life coaches or nutrition coaches, it's a wonderful tool. And I do kind of pulse in and out of using these tools and then moving into teaching or coaching. So I did need to learn how to do this work separately, and through the other modules, you'll have opportunities to practice this work. And then I've really enjoyed being able to add this as a tool in with my coaching skills and in with the trauma work that I do. So it's not all or nothing. You don't have to just do this type of work. You can kind of weave it in to the other skills that you have as a therapist or as a coach. And it works so beautifully. So I just want to check in. Any questions right now? It's hard for me to see you all. So speak up. You can unmute yourself and just reach out if you do have a question. So the next slide is just going to show us a little bit of a taste of what's coming up in other modules. This is a picture taken from Stephen Kessler's book called The Five Personality Patterns, and we call them the energy patterns. What we're looking at here is five common ways that people flow the energy through their system when they feel stressed or overwhelmed. So the first pattern is called the leaving pattern, and you'll see the arrow is actually moving out of this person's system. This is a pattern that we use if we feel overwhelmed, where it's not safe to be in the body, so the energy either doesn't even come into the body or the energy moves out of the system. With the merging pattern, this person wants to connect with and merge their energy with another person. So you can see the flow of the energy in this type of pattern is into the other person. And so they want to connect and pull energy from another person. The enduring pattern is one where the energy comes into the system and this person will hold on to the energy. It doesn't flow naturally. It gets held in and sometimes gets pushed down into the bottom of their body. So this person tends to be more grounded than like the leaving pattern. The leaving pattern's energy is up here and out of the body. The enduring pattern person will bring the charge, hold on, and sometimes move it down. So you can see the difference in body structure that can happen when we use these different patterns. The enduring pattern person is going to be heavier, more dense typically than the leaving pattern person. With the aggressive pattern, we see that the energy is in and they pull it up and let it flow out. So this could be with their voice, perhaps, or their movement as well, but the energy comes up and then gets thrown out. And with the rigid pattern, this pattern holds in and tight, and there's some movement out up through the top versus the enduring pattern where it's in and down. The rigid pattern, there's not a lot of flow, but it can flow up a little bit. And I notice in the rigid pattern people is that it's held very tightly in the muscles. Very, very tight. So not a lot of movement there. So this is just an example of how we might be flowing the charge of stress or energy within our system, within our nervous system, within our body. And you can see that it can affect how the structure and the tissue of our body. Some of the teachings that I have learned have called this character structure or character armor, because the way we handle the charge or the energy that comes into our reality, comes into our life, comes into our system, affects our physical structure so much. Now, that's not to say that we can't show physical signs of multiple patterns, because we can, but I just want to give you a sense of how we might use the energy and flow the energy in our system. And these are five very common ways that people run energy in their system. So in other modules, we're going to learn a lot more about this. And the five personality patterns by Stephen Kessler gives you a really great description of all of these. And we will use that book in modules coming up in the future. So we've talked about the energy in relationships, that there are these energy patterns of push, pull, stop, and allow. So I'd like to give you a sense of how the different energy patterns that we just showed you, the five different common styles of managing energy in the system, what that might look like in relationship, how we might use our energy and push, pull, stop, or allow in relationship. So the first picture here shows us the enduring pattern. Remember, the enduring pattern will bring the energy in and typically holds on. Not a lot of flow or movement. So the enduring pattern person is giving a stop to their energy. It's not flowing. And they're next to this aggressive pattern person that wants to throw their energy out. So this aggressive pattern person is pushing their energy onto the enduring pattern person, whose energy is stop and hold. So you can get a sense of how challenging this might be for these two people with different patterns of how they flow energy. One is in a stop and the other one is in a push. That compared to the leaving pattern and the merging pattern. The leaving pattern person typically has their energy more up here, and they're not as grounded and connected into their body. So there's a lot of allowing with this person. The leaving pattern might not have as healthy boundaries. They're not physically in their body to have the physical boundaries, and their energetic boundaries also can be very loose. And so there's a lot of allowing in this situation. And the merging pattern person is going to come in and take what they want from this leaving pattern person, because there's no boundaries and the leaving pattern is allowing this to happen. The merging pattern, who wants that connection and wants to feel the connection and feel the energy of the other person, is pulling on the leaving pattern person. So really great visual examples of how the personality energy patterns might be interacting with another style or pattern, and how we use the stop, the push, the allow, the pull here with the different styles. So these are things you might be noticing when you're with with people in general, right, in your life, but when you're with a client, these are some of the things that you can watch out for, that you can be curious about, that you can notice. And you'll notice it with their languaging, and you'll notice it with their gestures as well. So I believe these pictures were taken from Barbara Brennan's work. I'm not sure which book. All right, any questions on this so far? Nope.
All right. I have a quick question.
Great. That's Ruby, I believe. Go ahead.
Yes. My question is are those energy patterns always correlate to the energy dynamics? So meaning that if it's like indoor, then what is that one? Stop. Or, you know, is it always like a correlate to that set, to those four sets?
So that's a really great question. And it's a probably a really long answer, but to simplify it, that we all have the ability to use, I'm going to go back to this slide. We all have the ability to use these different strategies. Okay. They're really strategies on how, what we're going to do with the charge or the energy that we're facing. And so we tend to use one or two of the strategies most often. Okay. So some of us have access to only one or two of the strategies. Some of us have access to all of the strategies, and it's a healthy thing to have access to all of these strategies so that we can choose what is the best strategy for this particular moment. But Stephen Kessler talks about pattern versus presence. So the pattern that we get into, the unconscious defensive pattern when we're reactive to a stressful situation, is typically one or two of these patterns that we get kind of stuck in as a habit.
I see. Okay.
But we can also then be in presence. So he talks about pattern versus presence. When we're in presence, we are more aware and we're more in charge of how we're using our energy. So the goal in healing all of this would be to be more aware of how we're running the flow of the energy and be more in charge of it. When we get triggered by something, we tend to fall back in a habit of one of these patterns.
Right.
And then when we're with somebody else in interaction with another person, in relationship, if we're in the reactive pattern and they're in their reactive pattern, it's really inefficient, right? We don't get very far. It's not very useful. So these pictures are kind of showing that when we're in the reactive pattern of enduring pattern and somebody else is in their aggressive pattern, this is what it can look like.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Is that helpful?
Very helpful. Thank you.
Great. And again, the book is very useful, and we will use that book as a reference as we learn more about these patterns in future modules. And I have to say, I have personally found this work so useful, not only for my practice, but in interpersonal relationships in my personal world. So helpful to understand the five patterns and to be able to work with those patterns when somebody is in pattern or when you're in pattern. So this is just a great tool for you also when you're sitting with your client to be curious about how they're flowing the charge of energy in their system. And these are just a really wonderful, tool is the word that comes to my mind, but really wonderful maps is a good word, a map of how someone might be using their energy. And then we can, as therapists, as coaches, recognize a pattern, which helps us then to understand them a little bit more. And I think we can help them better if we have a better understanding of what's happening with their energy, especially when, like Jill was saying, if this is new and your client doesn't have the energy vocabulary yet, and it's still new for you, having this understanding and having these maps can be so helpful for you to manage the session better. Okay, so let's move on to this. How are we going to observe these energy patterns? So this is, again, just as what I've been saying, is having these tools and understandings of the possible patterns is really helpful, right? So the visual, I think, of this page from Stephen Kessler's book here helps us to have a sense of what might be happening. So other things that we can use are reflecting their own language and their gestures and their emotions back to the client, right? Non-judgmentally, just reflecting back what you notice they're doing with their language, with their gestures and their emotions. And we've said this already a few times today, the importance of slowing down can be really uncomfortable for us as therapists, especially when we feel like it's our job to fix them or our job to do something. And really that slowing down of time and giving the client the space to be curious, holding the space for them while they're in, while they're being curious and they're investigating themselves. So being able to hold that space, slow down and pause is a really, really important thing, a really helpful thing for your client to give them that space and teach them how to slow down. Might not know how. We're going to then kind of be this pendulum between the story. They're going to start to tell us their story, and we want to help them have the energetic or body awareness of what's happening in the story, right? It's less about the story and more about the sensations or the experience of the story. So kind of, when I first started this work, it was challenging for me to know, when do I slow the client down? When do I listen to the story? How much of them expressing the story is needed or necessary? And when was it time to slow down and ask them to then tune in to the sensations? And that just took practice for me. We do dwell in the emotions, and we dwell in that, I believe, long enough to then be able to drop into the sensation of it. What is happening in their body, in their nervous system? What's the energy of that doing in their system? Always staying very curious. I'm often reflecting back, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. Can you describe that a little bit more? Oh, wow, that's really interesting. Like, I'm just really amazed and curious and enjoying the unfolding of it as a therapist. As a healer, being curious is fun for me. Watching, and as a functional nutrition coach, you know, Dr. Rita Marie talks about being the detective. I love that. That requires the curiosity. It requires us to allow ourselves to slow down enough to watch, to pay attention, and just keep that open curiosity about it. And then we always want to summarize. Now, when we do, one of the modules is the art of inquiry, right? Where you will learn how to do this. You'll learn how to ask questions, when to ask the questions, how to reflect back, and how to summarize. But it's a really important part of this work, is being able to capture what they've done, what they've expressed to us, summarize it, and reflect it back to them. Okay. So these are some of the tools we use on how we can observe their energy patterns and how useful it is during a session with a client to be able to use these tools to help them be aware, for them to be able to have the time to slow down, to pause, to be curious, to move back and forth between the story and the sensations in the body, and to continue to be curious about it and summarize what's happening to them. Okay, so we're going to talk about the case of Dawn. Any questions about the video that we watched with Laura doing a session with Dawn? Any questions or comments about that? Nope. Okay, great. So then I'm just going to go and just bring up some points that I think were really, really helpful to reflect back on for us. So we're going to be capturing these points as we review this case. We're going to notice how Laura was able to observe what she was doing physically. So what her physical gestures were, the physical observations that Laura noticed and was reflecting back to her. There's emotional observations as well as the experience of the session. And notice that Laura would reflect back to the gestures that Dawn had that were probably subconscious. And there are some of us talk with our hands, so there's going to be these subconscious gestures that we use just because we're expressive and we talk with our hands. But then there's gestures that are really part of the energetic expression that the client is expressing as she tells her story. So Laura was able to call out those subconscious gestures that Dawn had. We're noticing any repetitive phrases. So if a client uses a statement over and over again, we're mindful of that because that's useful information to repeat or to reflect back to them. We're looking for core beliefs, those if-then statements are really helpful to reflect back to the client for their awareness. Notice when Laura used pauses appropriately and allowed the client to have that time to sink into the experience or the energetics. And notice how she used appropriate self-disclosure of her experience, what she noticed and reflected back to Dawn about her experience of watching Dawn go through this process. So I am going to stop the share so that, oh yes, a question.
Yes, I was wondering, how do you see physical observation and subconscious gesture differently? Because when I move, I don't know what I'm doing. So how do you see the difference between those?
Well, we
are looking at the client.
Right. So that's why you'll get to know your client and you'll know if they use their hands a lot anyway with expressing themselves and when they're telling their story. But there might be a more drastic or more a difference in the way that they're gesturing. That's a subconscious thing. And I'm going to look through my notes. I remember some of the, with the case of Dawn, when she talked about the egg, she did this, right? And she might not be aware of her own gesture. So I can sense that my client, now I've done this a long time, right? But you'll know your client's just normal communication gestures versus something that might be unconscious on their part, but it's a physical gesture that you can bring to their awareness. And do you notice how Laura would do what the client did, right? Go, oh, yeah. The egg, right? So that's a great way to help them have awareness of what they were doing that might have been subconscious. Does that answer the question?
Yes, I feel that more. Thank you.
Yeah, right. So Laura did a really good job of reflecting back but having her slow down. Right? Slowing down right from the very beginning. Dawn was really into her story, right? She was just really talking about the story. And right away, Laura asked her to slow down a little bit to catch up. Like, I need to catch up with you. Let's slow this down a little bit. I like to say, I invite you to slow down a little bit, or could you please slow down a little so that I can catch up with this? And that gives the client an opportunity to kind of slow down and kind of sink into it so that she can start to have more awareness, right? Some of the subconscious gestures, we noticed the subconscious, and I think that there was that birthing gesture that Dawn had in the beginning, right? And she was kind of doing this. And so Laura had a lot of curiosity about that, right? Like, oh, what does this look like? What does this feel like? Tell me more about this. So Laura was reflecting back with her words, but also reflecting back with her body, right? She was kind of showing the client, oh, this is this. Wow. Tell me about this. What else does this look like? Kind of keeping the client within the sensation and within the gestures and slowing it down so the client can be more curious about what she was doing here. Another physical observation that Laura noticed was that there was some laughing when the client was bringing up some shame and embarrassment around self-awareness. And so Laura was able to reflect back, oh, well, there's some shame, but you're laughing about it, right? You remember that part? And so Laura then kind of reflected back the question. So she said, oh, well, they're judging me, right? So Laura was then able to go back. So if they judge you, then what? Right? Then what? So there was this incongruence, there's this shame, and there's some laughing about this experience of shame. And so Laura was able to keep her in this place and say, oh, okay, so let's go a little bit deeper. And there was some judgment around this. Well, then if there's judgment, if they judge me, then what? Right. And then what was happening in this place is that there was this cognitive experience, right? Dawn understood that she had a cognitive understanding. She was really good at being in her reasoning brain, wasn't she? She was really good about that. And Laura was able to bring her back down into the emotion of it, right? And at that point, she said something about, wow, this feels really little. Right? It feels like a really little person saying this about the judgment of they're judging me. And Dawn said something about, well, it will hurt my feelings no matter what I do. And there were these tears and this little voice. Do you remember that part? And Laura said, wow, this feels really little. So that's another reflection back. Oh, that feels really little. So Laura is able to observe that she's in her cognitive brain telling the story, but then the physical expression that she was giving, the tone of her voice and the words that she was using were like a little girl, right? So this is part of the reflecting back of there's these physical expressions of the story and the sound of her voice and the movements and the tone of her voice and the words she was using, she was able to reflect back and be curious, say, oh, so if you were to put an age on that, what would it be? So again, reflecting back what she's noticing with the physical expressions, with the tone of her voice, being curious, asking some questions about it to go a little bit deeper. And then she brought up, she was about 5 years old and her mother's voice came to her. Right? She started remembering her mother's voice and, oh, your friends don't really like you. They're just using you. Right? So do you remember how expressive Dawn was when she was being her mother's voice? Right? Remember that? So then Laura was just simply, what are you noticing as you talk about that? And then pausing. Right? What are you noticing? So we're bringing her out of the story of what the mother was saying and bringing her back into the sensation. What are you noticing as you talk about that? And she was shaky. Remember that? She was shaking and she noticed that she was having that shaking and Laura let her experience the shaking, but then she brought her back to help let her know, affirm back to her that, yeah, it's really actually healthy to let the body shake that off. That's actually kind of a trauma release, right? That the body can shake off the energy. So it's kind of like, I think what Heidi was expressing earlier was being allowing that energy to flow. So Laura was encouraging her to allow that experience of the shaking. And reassure her that that was a normal, healthy thing and that it was okay for her to allow that, okay? Another few important points, I think, for that is that Laura was able to bring her back to, remember when she was noticing that she was in the glass and she felt lonely in there? It was the kind of a safe place for her to be. She was behind this glass, and Laura brought her back into and asked her, is there anything positive about this? Is there anything positive about that glass, about that experience? This is helpful because it can help her kind of regulate herself, right? So if you're noticing that they're in this, they're expressing this uncomfortableness, this glass is lonely, what it feels like behind this glass, Laura was able to help her regulate, bring her back into the positive aspect here. Okay. This is really helpful when they're more identified with the sensation. If they're really identified with the emotion, then we want to bring them into the sensation. And then as they get more identified with the sensation, we can help them see if there's anything positive here. And then this helps us bring them back to their resilience. We want to remind them of the tools that they used when they were dealing with a difficult situation, helped them survive, and they got through it, and how resilient they are, what great tools that they used, right? So Laura's helping her see that it's a process, right? She said, I love that you got relaxed. And, you know, I feel like I'm all over the place reading these notes, and I feel like I just want to slow down and kind of come back to my notes and just first of all ask you if you have questions or if I'm making it more confusing because I'm reading these notes instead of just talking to you. It's helpful? Is it? Okay.
I'm following.
Oh, you are? Okay. Great. Great. There's so many points that I want to make that I just feel like I'm just babbling and looking at my notes more than I'm just hanging out with you guys and talking about it.
So, I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you give an example of how you would take the client away from emotion and move to sensation and then how you reframe that as a positive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first thing that I would do is allow them to express the emotion of it and notice that. And then I ask them, what do you notice in your system or what do you notice in your body? It's that simple. It's really that simple. And if they then notice more emotion, like, oh, I'm angry, or I'm sad, I'm going to give it some space for that to come up. But then I could still bring that back into where is that in your body? Right. And then Laura used a really great term or sentence here when Dawn was talking about that birthing, like I'm giving birth and it was this movement down, right? Laura just said, so what does that look like? What else does that look like? And I often say, well, tell me more about that. And then Laura also at some point said, like when she was talking about the glass, oh, okay. Tell me more about the glass. Is there a color? Is there a texture? And I'm real careful to pause because I know that some people need a moment to get it, right? They need a moment for their cognitive brain to slow down and shift into their system. So I'm pretty comfortable with the pause and I let them have a little bit of time and space to answer me. It's very tempting to just jump in and ask them more questions or suggest something, but you gotta allow them to have the space to shift from their reasoning brain and shift into their system. And it's okay. Tell me more about that. If they don't have a clue, say, well, do you notice a color? Is there a texture? Is there a temperature? And those are real open-ended questions. And knowing that some people really have a hard time connecting in with a sensation. So then if it's, oh, I don't know. Then I love to ask, so what's it like to not know? Dawn was pretty good. She was able to sense a lot and she was pretty quick, right? Remember, she had quite an aha moment, actually really pretty quickly. I'm looking at my notes to see the specifics of that. But Laura had asked her to just slow down and tune into it. Oh, the shell. It was like an egg, right? And it was a shell. And she said, well, you know, like hang out in that shell, notice it and explore it. And she was pretty quick. She had this aha moment. Like really, I remember she went, ah, right? Like she like had this really quick realization. Not all clients are going to be that quick. It's going to take some time and patience to allow them to kind of sink down into their system, move from that reasoning mind into the body and allow them to be curious about it. And then prompting them, if they have no clue, well, what's it like to not know? That's okay. Then you can ask them those questions. What's your breathing like? What do you notice?
Lynn, I'm sorry, Kimberly, I have a question.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Great. Sorry, if I missed this one, I'd step away for a second. You can just tell me to watch the recording, but can you describe the difference between emotion and sensation? I don't know. My own experience, I kind of always experience those together.
Mm-hmm.
They're never separate. So,
yeah. Well, they can be tied together, right? Yes, they can be. But there can be sensation without emotion. There can be a sensation without an emotion. But typically when there's an emotion, there's a sensation tied to it. So when we're in an emotion, we can articulate it. Sometimes it's like anger would be an emotion. I'm angry about something, but where does that anger live in the body?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you notice that in your physical body, in your system?
Okay.
Okay. Is that helpful?
Yeah, I think so. What you're saying is the sensation is its location.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, there's going to be a location of that emotion in the system somewhere.
Okay, thank you.
So if the client is having a hard time articulating that or sensing it, slow down and give them the opportunity. And you can prompt them with, is there a color? Is there a texture? Right. And if they don't know, be curious about that. Or what's it like to not know?
Okay.
Other questions? Yeah, Angelica.
Okay, so I've received TEH from one of Laura's graduates. And I always wonder, because I've only started several months ago receiving the healing, after the step where the client, in this case me, notices the sensation, the location, I name it, I describe it,
mm-hmm.
What happens next? Like, I know there's supposed to be, like, I guess I kind of define it as magic, what happens next? Like, what, how do you define that for the client if they're curious? I'm really just curious.
Well, I never know. I never have a clue of what's going to happen next. Really, truly, I don't know what's going to happen next. But what I want the client to do is to be curious and explore. And in my experience, when we pay attention to it and get curious about it, it starts to shift and move. So my goal is to help them be more aware of what's happening with the energetics and to track it to see what happens. Is it moving now? And is there some now an aha moment or awareness that's useful for them? And then notice at the end of the session, Laura goes back and reminds her, reflects back and summarizes, in the beginning of the session, you felt this way. And then you realized this. And now you notice this. So that's kind of, and we could do a little demo right now. I could bring somebody through a quick little process if you would like. Does anybody have a big thing right here that's here now that they would like to explore for a moment? Anybody want to volunteer?
I would. It's just really loud where I am.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately.
Somebody else would.
Anybody else have something like right here now that they'd like to explore?
I can volunteer.
Okay. We only have a few minutes, but we'll see if we can be helpful. What do you notice is up for you right now, Laura?
So there was an interaction between me and a worker. Mm-hmm. And after that, to digest the information, I ate nuts and seeds. I couldn't just sit, or I didn't have the tools at that moment to sit. I didn't allow myself to have the tools to sit and trying to understand what happened. So the story is that he tells others what to do, and I was in the bathroom. So this is my space, and there's an apartment downstairs that where we are renovating. And so I was in the bathroom downstairs and he came in. By then I had zipped my pants, so everything was well, but I told him I'm in the bathroom and he stayed there frozen in a way and only left a few moments later, not immediately. He said like, well, he just stayed there. And then once I came out of the bathroom, I suggested in a firm voice to knock next time that the door is closed. And he answered, no, I won't knock. Mm-hmm. You have your bathroom upstairs. This space downstairs belongs to me.
Can I just recap real quickly so I understand, because I feel a little confused?
Yes.
You had a situation where you were in a bathroom and somebody, you were just finishing up with your bathroom and you had somebody come in to the bathroom and disrupt you?
Yes.
And you said, you know, please knock next time? And he said no.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the gist of it.
Okay.
And then, so his words are not common. No, I'm not going to knock. So I stayed calm.
Yeah.
And I was a bit confused inside, and I wrote down the words from the list, how I felt that it did. Yeah. Okay. But I stayed calm.
Can you describe for me what your system felt when this?
Yeah, I felt inside, but at the same time, my eyes were full of love and what's the word? I was surprised. You know, how can he speak that way? How can he feel that way? So at the moment, you know, I felt like this, but at the same time, I felt in. I didn't know exactly how to connect with him. But then I put my hand on his heart and looked into his eyes, and at the same time, I was thinking I shouldn't do this because he's in a reactive mode. You know, some people may just, you know, he could have. Push my hands out.
So I'd like to, but it's could I slow you down just for a moment here? Cause it's like, this was interesting to me to watch this. Oh, there was this. And at the same time, there was this.
Yes. Yes. It was such a surprising moment that I was opening up to trying to figure out to be calm in the present with the situation. But at the same time, I felt I could feel his aggressive energy, and I was closing up to it.
Yeah. So as you describe this, what do you notice right now as you tell the story?
Yeah, I feel tears, and as you're asking me the question, I didn't feel the tears before, but as you're asking me the question of how I feel tears, and my throat is a bit tight, but some with openness, and I don't know why I have to go through this. Mm-hmm. As a human, why do I have to be confronted with, I don't understand in a way, but I do understand in a way where it comes from, because he's very similar to my father in the way he speaks. And
What I would like is for us to notice how you're moving into the reasoning brain of the story. I'd love for you just to bring it back down into the sensation, and you're noticing some tears there.
Well, yeah.
Could you maybe stay with that for a minute? Just kind of, what's that like there, just to stay with that sensation and the emotion?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm accepting that. And accepting these challenges. I'm accepting these challenges that I'm facing, that are part of life. I seem to want to not have these challenges in my life.
No. You want to not have the challenges in your life.
Not these kind. I they're disruptive. They slow the flow. I suppose I don't know exactly how to flow in situations like that. I close up.
You close up. What does that closing up feel like?
I close up, protecting myself from something, feeling pain, being judged, close up in my tower.
In your power.
In my tower with a T.
Tower.
I feel like I'm in a tower here. Mm-hmm. In my castle.
You're in the tower protecting yourself from the pain. Yeah. What's it like in that tower? Tell me about that.
Uh, The tower is amazing. It's beautiful. I can, I'm just with my own self, and I let emotions, my own emotions come in, and you know, they do come in, my own difficulties, they do come through, mm-hmm. even when there are no people, there are no people. Yeah. But at the same time, I want to come down from that tower and experience life
mm-hmm.
with openness mm-hmm. and love. And so that's my wish.
And you smile as you express that wish.
Yeah. And at the same time, I feel this very tight. Yeah, as I said it. With a tight, smile.
Tight in here, but you say it with a smile.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Tell me more about the tight in here.
Well, it's on the right side, bottom. It has like a yellow color.
Mm.
And it's actually now softening up, melting.
Oh.
It's going lower.
So what are you noticing now as you express all this and share this with us?
Yeah, I noticed that I'm moving forward and backwards like I'm like with a baby, you go like this.
Oh,
wow. So I feel like I'm rocking this experience, softening up, everything softening up.
Yeah. So you started with telling us a story of being in the bathroom and barely finishing before someone comes in and interrupts you. And an interaction that you had with this man where you had this conflict where there was like, oh, I have compassion for him, but yet it was uncomfortable for you to be in that situation. And I can't remember the word you used to describe that sensation.
It wasn't comfortable for me because someone came to the bathroom before and left their thing in the there. He was like double.
So not a good experience overall, right? Yeah.
And really, I've been educated not to mind people coming in as a child. So I don't know why I'm back to.
Yeah.
Feeling closed-minded, like protective of this space.
Protecting. You needed to protect, and you even described how you protect yourself by going into the tower, right? And how nice it is in that tower, right? Where you feel safe there in your castle, in your tower. And then as you allowed yourself to describe, you even noticed that tight in the throat, right? And the yellow kind of color. But as you expressed it, you noticed that it was softening, right? It softened quite a bit. And then you were rocking, right? Rocking yourself like you were rocking or soothing a baby, right? Yeah. How are you
Thank
now?
Thank you, Kim. I'm good. I see, I see in the past that it's good to repeat that I really want to come down my tower.
Oh, I love that. You want to come down to my tower.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for allowing us to explore that with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, you're
thank
welcome.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Oh, any questions? Well, it's about the end of our session already. Thank you guys so much for letting me take over for Laura and do my best to present this information, little bit scattered with my own notes. So I am hoping that it was useful and helpful for you. I love that we got to do a little bit of a demo on Laura. Thank you so much for that. I would love to, for us just to check out really quickly with a final comment or statement before we sign off. Let's see, let's start with Valerie.
I just want to say thank you for taking over the class, and I really enjoyed your going through your notes and all your comments. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Valerie. Angelica.
Yeah, I agree. It was a great class. Thank you, Laura, for bravely volunteering. And I just feel, kind of awestruck of the movement of energy.
Yeah, nice. Thank you, Angelica. Heidi.
Also, thank you, Laura and Kimberly, for the demo and the class. I'm just reflecting and contemplating, especially on the concept of how emotions and sensations and thoughts and stories all get intertwined. So,
while I'm thinking of it, Heidi, I would love to recommend a book that goes into the complexities of that really nicely. And you might have read it, but it's Charge in the Energy Body by Anadea Judith. She does a really nice job of talking about the difference between the sensation and the emotion and how things can get so complicated and tangled up and into complexes.
Okay. So how do you spell the author's name?
Anadea Judith. So A-N-O-D-E-A-J-U-I-D-T-H. J-U-D-I-T-H. I'm dyslexic, so I might not be spelling that right, but I can type it in the chat when it's over, or we can, when we're done with everybody's final sentence, I can share with you some more.
Thank you.
Okay. Chris.
I think you did a really nice job, Kimberly. Thank you. And I just always love to review all of this information. It's a lot of information, so it's always helpful to review it. So I am grateful. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Awesome. Martha.
Yes, I think you did a wonderful job. What was nice, Laura's our mentor, but to see one of her students come around and do the same process, because you started where we were. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to hear that it's just asking simple questions. So I'm trying to imagine myself doing that, but it's just a matter of just practicing those questions and being in those situations with your clients where it'll really start to surface. And Laura was wonderful to just volunteer herself, even though we couldn't see her, just for you to pick up on everything that she was saying. And it's like a simple thing that just really can really mess you up. Somebody trying to interrupt you while you're in the bathroom, and how that can just so emotionally affect us for the rest of the day. And so thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for listening and offering me the opportunity to go through this story. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Martha. And it's so true. I was right where you guys were just a few years ago, and learning this process, and I still don't know what to do most of the time, but the thing is, I trust the energy, I trust the client, and I've just gotten really comfortable with pausing and allowing it. So So thank you for that reflection back, Martha. Debbie.
Yeah, thank you. I felt like I learned so much from this class, and I'm absorbing a lot right now too. I took a lot of notes. I took like 2 pages of notes, which a lot of them were the questions that you, you know, highlighted from observing Laura's demo, and then your questions that you also ask in addition, or, you know, different ways of framing or phrasing it. Mm-hmm. And I just like that because I can kind of review these questions and then throughout the day, just kind of start to get comfortable with being more curious in this way. So, so great class. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Debbie. And yeah, those questions are really tools in your toolbox. So the more questions that you have, the more tools you have to deal with whatever job you're up against. So I love the way you framed that. Thanks, Debbie. Let's see, Jill.
Yeah, I loved the class today. Thank you, Kimberly. And I agree with Chris that I love the review. It's really good for me because I go into reason a lot to remember these things and to review. And I'm also very thankful for Laura. And the example, the demoing is really important for me too, because then I, you know, especially right after you've done a review of different things, and then you're showing us how it works, and it's just really good for me to have that repetitive experience of watching that too. So thank you.
Thank you, Jill. That's nice. Ruby.
I feel a lot of warmth in my heart. And then Kimberly, I really just enjoy the way you teach. It just makes a lot of sense to me, and I feel it too. So thank you so much. Mm-hmm. And thank you for the demo. Very helpful. Very quick question though. Is it appropriate that during the session with client that you feel emotional when you are with, like, cause you can really feel their stories and then you can feel the emotions and then you started to feel that emotions coming up yourself. Mm-hmm. Is it appropriate, or is it better to just have that, like, practice that detachment, but stay compassionate and then empathetic, but it's better to hold that space for them?
Yeah. I love how you just said that. I don't know. It's not a matter of being appropriate. What's appropriate for me as the practitioner is to notice my own reaction, but to stay present and engaged for the client. So it's, for me, it's like, oh, note to self. This is what came up for me during the session. And I want to take that offline, and later I'll address that for myself. And this, another reason why I really encourage you all to take the full certification program, because Laura will, and the teaching team will help you do that, right? Because stuff does come up for us when we're with our clients. And so to learn how to navigate through that is something that we cover for sure in the other modules of this program. So it is a great question, and it is, in my opinion, important for us to notice ourselves, but we put it on hold because it's all about the client in that session. Yeah, that great question, Ruby. Thank you. All right, you guys, I kept you over 5 minutes. I apologize for that. I just love connecting with you all. This is my favorite part of my day on Saturdays, to get to be with you and to share this information with you. And you're always welcome to reach out to myself anytime with any questions or concerns between classes. I'm totally available if you need me for anything. And I look forward to seeing you in our next class. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Kimberly.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Oh, and did you notice my chat? Thank you, Laura, for putting the book in the chat. I think I saw that you did that. Yeah, so did you get that, Heidi? Oh.
Chris? Is Chris still in here?
All right, everyone. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.